Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to thee, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In my lifetime as a priest, I've been fortunate that most of the deaths that I've been called to minister to have been timely deaths. Death that comes after a long life has been lived. The majority of the people who have died did so after a full life, at an age when we expect death. It seems easier to accept death when a person has died after a long life, but the death of a child or a young person is devastating. The untimely death of the young person seems unfair. It's when we sometimes question God, how could you? How dare you? And we question ourselves, what did I do wrong? Could I have prevented this? Was it my fault? The questions flow, the harder questions come. Is there life after death? More importantly, do I really believe that there's life after death? The mother of a young man found herself in that very state. Her son had died. We don't know how, but his death was devastating. This sobbing mother was heartbroken, stunned beyond belief, and her son's death was the loss of a lifetime of dreams for her child and the loss of her livelihood. This woman, who is unnamed in Luke's gospel, had been widowed and now experienced the untimely death of her only son. She was considered vulnerable, weak, and without any opportunity for economic support. When a woman lost her husband and then her only son, she lost everything. This woman in a village in Nain who lost her husband and her only son lost her status, her security, and her future. The woman was so overcome with grief that I don't think she ever saw Jesus. But we are well aware that Jesus saw her. Jesus walks into the funeral procession and offers compassion to the mourning mother. Jesus had just come from healing the Roman centurion's sick servant. Jesus responded to the plea of the Roman army officer to heal his servant without taking a step into his own home. Jesus said the word, and the sick servant's healing takes place. It was automatic, immediate, and life-giving. The faith of the centurion is so strong, he knew Jesus had the power to bring life out of death. We know story after story throughout Scripture of Jesus healing the dead. Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, fell at Jesus' feet, pleading Jesus to come to his house because his daughter, his only daughter, was dying, and he asked Jesus to heal her. Lazarus, the sick brother of Martha and Mary, walked out of the tomb, healed with his linen strips still wrapped around his body. In today's situation in Luke's gospel, Jesus' compassion cuts through again. Jesus touches the unclean coffin according to the Jewish standards. He reached into death and brought life out. Most of us at some point in our lives have prayed or hoped Jesus Christ would step into our lives and bring life out of death. I've known people who have been dead or near death in some manner of their lives. When this happens, we go through the motions of living, yet are dead spiritually or socially or intellectually or economically. Premature deaths, fractured relationships, divorce, addiction, abuse, financial ruin, illness, depression, or broken dreams. Then one day, God's compassion and grace touches our lives, and death breaks through. We call this salvation, the eternal life in the fullness of God's love. When I was a new priest right out of seminary, I was on call, and I received a phone call that a parishioner, we'll call him Bill, had been in an accident and was near death. I jumped into my car and started traveling down Broadway, the main street in Tyler, Texas, going faster than the speed limit. I got to the intersection where there was a four-way stop, pulled into the right lane to turn right towards the hospital, and stopped. There was a car in front of me. As that car pulled, going right into the traffic, I pulled up, looked to my left, and hit the gas. The only problem was that the car in front of me was turning right, decided to stop again, and I rolled right into the back of the car. Well, you know what happened after that. I got out of the car, called the police, exchanged insurance information, and had to wait for the police to arrive on the scene. You couldn't see a dent or a scrape on the car in front of me, but they were not about to let me leave without a proper police report. As a new priest, I was terrified that my patient in the hospital would die without my presence and a prayer. When I got back into my car and headed towards the hospital, as I prayed, "Oh God, please be with Bill," I realized that Jesus had always been with Bill. Jesus had not left Bill. Jesus was at the hospital, and Jesus would see Bill through whatever came. As it happened, I arrived before Bill died, and we prayed together, thanking God for his presence and asking God for peace and comfort. Bill knew that there was life after death, and he was at peace. As a priest, I've had many opportunities to preside at funerals. It's a privilege to offer comfort, sympathy, support, and hope to the loved ones of the deceased. When I offer hope and security, it's based on the promise of salvation offered by Jesus Christ. But there have also been moments when I feel inadequate, empty, at a loss for what I can say or do for families. I can't reverse what's happened. I can't fill the hole that has been left in the people's lives. I can't change the circumstances, no matter how much I wish I could. In Luke's gospel, we read that Jesus Christ can and will bring life out of death. Jesus has the last word. He tells the widow not to cry. He says, "Young man, get up." Jesus has the power to bring hope out of tragedy. We've all had deaths when our mourning is that gut level too deep for words, grief. When I was going through my divorce, when my white picket fence was tumbling down all around me, I felt that devastation that was covered with fear so deep that I was lightheaded. My family and friends surrounded me, and yet the depth of my pain and fear of the future was paralyzing. The only thing that I knew to do at night when I had put my children to bed was to get on my knees. God was present, touching me, bringing life out of this death when I didn't even know it. This certainly wasn't the end of my fear. But with each challenge that came during this time as a single mother, God continued to shower me with his compassion and love. He lifted me up from an unclean situation. He restored my soul. He placed people in my life that carried me as I began to use my weary legs. When I look back on the dark time in my life, each day I know now that God was restoring me, renewing me, revitalizing me, and bringing life out of death. I wish I could tell you that my transformation was immediate with one touch from Jesus, like he touched the unclean coffin of the young man and brought him back to life. But for me, it wasn't that way. I've spent years being prayed for by people like the prayer warriors of our OSL, who minister to the brokenhearted like me. I love the miracle stories that we read throughout the Bible. In real life, sometimes bringing life out of death is a process. It takes time to heal that gut-level pain and sorrow of loss. It takes time to embrace the compassion and love of our Lord. It takes time to be brought back to life after death. And yet I believe that Jesus Christ continually offers compassion to those who suffer. He knows and understands the depth of our grief and sorrow. And I believe that Jesus meets our needs even when we are too torn apart to ask for help. I believe that God reaches into our lives and helps us to find new meaning, even in the greatest tragedy. I believe that Jesus Christ is the prophet of God, who is filled with divine power that will bring life out of death. And when it's time for the end, whether a timely death or an untimely death, I believe that God brings life out of death for all of us. As the collect in the burial rite reads in the Book of Common Prayer, O God, whose mercies cannot be numbered, accept our prayers on behalf of thy servant, and grant him or her an entrance into the land of light and joy, in the fellowship of thy saints, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.